Ames Farm and Fleet.
The Spiegel and Parkin Show.
Dawson will get a chance to do some damage. Talented performer. You love to watch him. He's always hanging in there.
Look at this.
Well, what a finale for Andre.
What a way to finish the year for the home folks in Chicago.
He has just hit number 47. Congratulations all around for Dawson.
Line drive up the right field side. Going to be in there for extra bases. The ball stays underneath the padding down there along the right field wall. And Webster's going for three. Here's the throw. He's out. What a throw by Andre Dawson. Webster trying to take liberties. And Dawson uncorked a heck of a throw to Keith Moreland at third. Danielle Webster.
Matt Spiegel. Danny Parkins. Middays on the Score.
Those highlights from the MVP season of 1987 for the Hawk, Andre Dawson, the Hall of Famer. Spiegs is just geeking out in studio with throws from right field to third base.
Right, well, and then they included one right there in the highlight montage. That's appreciated. Yeah, we're talking right field arms during the break because Andre had one of the greatest of all time. And he said to me, you ever see Ellis Valentine? So now you're going to make me go back and watch some old Expos highlights of Ellis Valentine.
Well, there were some good arms back during that generation.
Thank you for coming in, by the way.
Thank you, guys.
How much pleasure did you take? What was more satisfying, to homer and trot or to nail somebody at third or at home from right field who had the audacity to run on you?
Well, it depended on the situation. If we were losing the game, then a home run was just a run closer. But you can make a throw that could be a determining factor in the game later on. And for me, it was challenging because the guys knew, you know, they were taking a chance, and when they took that chance, that could be consequences.
Which one came more naturally to you?
I never really tried to let one aspect overshadow the other. I felt that I was an average hitter with power. So, you know, home runs were going to take care of themselves, but you really got to work at your throwing, stretching your arm out, you know, long tossing that thing, and then try and narrow down your accuracy.
And, you know, it's interesting. That's how you end up being a five-tool player like that, is if you don't value one over the other, you're trying to do absolutely everything. An average hitter, you call yourself, even great hitters fail, what, 6.5 times out of 10, right?
Yeah, you get, you know, three hits, that's 300, so you're considered a success.
And how do you not take that out into the field then? Was that an issue for you at all, or were you able to keep that in its own little place? All right, I'll try to hit, but now I'm out in the field, I'll just do this and focus here.
Well, sometimes, you know, you carry it out with you, but then your focus returns to what you have to do defensively.
Andre Dawson is in studio on behalf of the Baby Otter Swim School, which I'm sure some people right there are like, wait, what? this is a really cool story. He's here with Mindy. I'm sorry, I didn't get your last name.
York.
Mindy York. And they're going to tell us about it. But you learned to swim when you were 50 years old.
49 and a half.
I apologize.
Round down, Dan.
I gotta get the numbers
up.
Right.
Round down.
My apologies. So 49 and a half.
Right.
How'd that go?
It went real well. I like, you know, Mindy and I were talking earlier. It was a 5-day program, and I was swimming underwater. For whatever reason, I couldn't float, and they described it to me as not having enough body fat. But I would swim underwater, and I was amazed that I could hold my breath that long. And for me, at age 50, I just felt that it would be a difficult process for me because at that age, you know, you kind of fear the water because you know the consequences. But I, you know, took the liberty to say, hey, you know, I can do this. I got this. And they assured me that I would be fine.
What can you tell people about the Baby Otter Swim School program, Mindy?
Well, we've been in existence for 40 years. Marlene is the pioneer of the Turn, Kick, Reach program. So what sets us apart is we do programs instead of lessons. So children learn based on building from one day to the next day. We do it on a private level. So we build on each day. So by the end of the week, The kids are swimming alone to the steps to the wall, and then they learn to turn around and get back and save themselves.
Wow.
So as we now, we have been in Florida doing this for 40 years. We're bringing it to Chicago for Andre. So it's Baby Otter Andre Dawson Aquatic Center here at the Westin Lombard. So they're the first to come on board to host Andre and Baby Otter. So we're super excited to be in Yorktown and hope to, you know, saves as many lives here as we have done in Florida.
Wow. As the father of a six-year-old who has swim class today at 3 p.m. And who has been in and out of a couple different programs and, like, deals with the fear sometimes and has a vest that'll help him float and make him float, I'm wishing that I had done the five-day program and gotten that a lot easier several years ago. How young are the kids that you're working with?
As soon as they're crawling, we take them.
Wow.
Because they, you know, the younger they are, the better, because they have no fear.
Sure.
So they've been in water, right? So we take them in and they naturally just start kicking. We teach them with a set of commands how to hold their breath. So on the first day they go, they learn a whole set of commands. There's no surprises. You know, we put their face underwater. They know the commands there and they're off. So, it's amazing to watch them.
Where were you 4 years ago?
The baby otter. They're in Florida.
They're in Florida.
The Baby Otter Andre Dawson Aquatic Center is now accepting enrollment, like you said, at the Westin Lombard Yorktown Center. And for more information or to enroll your child, call 888-SWIM-KID. That's 888-794-6543. So were you scared? Were you scared to learn how to swim?
Well, no, I wasn't scared because I was only in 4 feet of water.
All right.
So the worst case scenario, you know, I could stand up. But it was only when they wanted me to get into the Olympic size pool. I'm like, wow, now I don't have the bottom underneath me.
But you did fine.
I can't reach the bottom, you know, standing up. But no, I wasn't afraid.
What had been your, because a texter said in, wow, you know, a world-class athlete who wasn't able to swim, like, and that surprises them, but it doesn't surprise me. What was your background around water? Had just never been around it, no access to pools? What was your situation?
No, I grew up around water. That was water everywhere.
Okay.
I mean, the beaches. I grew up in South Florida. But no, I didn't have access to a swimming pool. And it never dawned on me that that should be something I should learn. I just never had an inkling to get out in the water. I would be on the water in boats fishing, and, you know, that's taking a chance, especially when you don't have a life jacket on. But there really was no excuse because, you know, there were situations that would arise when you can have an opportunity to go learn how to swim. Some of my friends were very good swimmers, but, you know, it just never dawned on me that that's something I should take exception to.
I know a lot of adults who don't know how to swim. And it's interesting to think about you, though, Andre, because you picture the lifestyle of, like, nice vacations. Maybe you're on the beach a little bit and you got opportunities, and you would just be that guy who goes out, you know, 3, 4, 5 feet deep and just stop right there.
I didn't even get in the water when we went to the beach. You know, and I, because I was afraid of the jellyfish.
that's understandable.
Man.
But, you know, like I said, I had the opportunity, and I will say this, though. I had a near drowning experience when I was about 13 years old, and I should have, you know, took the liberty to probably take up swimming lessons at that time. But the interesting thing about it is I didn't really fight the water. I didn't panic. I was pushed in on the deep end. I think the pool was 8 feet deep. And I saw the sides. I worked my way to the sides until I was able to reach and grab the side, and someone grabbed my arm and helped me out of the water.
Hmm.
Wow.
So we get a lot of that, where we get adults who have had a trauma, and they want to now say, you know, I'm take this off my bucket list. I want to learn how to swim. You know, we also train in Florida the police and fire cadets who need to pass their tests, because we get it done in 5 days, and then they can go on, and then they can, you know, take their tests. So this is not uncommon. But Andre did great. He did great in the 4 feet, and then when we took him into the Olympic pool, he did fine. You know, he doesn't realize that he knew exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. He followed the instructions. It's all about breathing and technique, and it's just like with the little ones. People go, well, they don't understand. They understand everything you say. They may not be able to verbalize, but they understand everything you say.
Now I'm wondering if Ellis Valentine knows how to swim. You know, maybe Jesse Barfield.
You didn't have the arm.
Dwight Evans, these right field arms.
Well, see, we're eating and sleeping the game of baseball. We don't have time to think about swimming.
Andre, so you got familiar with this program down in Florida, and you were a member of the Marlins organization just up until a few months ago, essentially, right?
Yes, I first got involved with the program 13 years ago. I was introduced to Mindy and Marlene, the owners of the Baby Otter Swim School, by one of their friends, and he informed me early on that they were looking for a spokesperson. They wanted a local celebrity as their spokesperson, and I gave it some thought, but the thing for me was, well, if I'm going to do this, then I got to learn how to swim. And yes, I up until... Well, a couple of months ago, I had been down in South Florida working in the Marlins organization.
And Derek Jeter has had a very bumpy last few months. It has brought you to the Cubs, though, right? So do you look back on you and Tony Perez and Jeff Conine, you know, all sort of getting drummed out as a good thing in some ways because now you're up here?
Well, they did me a favor. I can say that. Yes, he's gotten off to, I would say, a shaky start, but, but you know, they're going the direction they want it to go. And that's what happens a lot of times when you get management turnover. Tony Perez has had some, he has some interesting things come up. Jeff Conine, I'm not really sure if he's going to go back with television or not, but, you know, it happens. For me, it was a blessing in disguise because my phone started ringing right away. It opens up a lot of doors in a sense. And, you know, this opportunity became available. And I can honestly say this is something I've always looked forward to and I'm going to cherish.
Andre Dawson in studio with us on behalf of the Baby Otter. Andre Dawson Aquatic Center now accepting open enrollment, the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. For more information or to enroll your child, call 888-SWIM-KID. I don't think a lot of people in Chicago are following the Marlins story. Like, so when you say, like, it's happening and they just made their decisions and all of that, like, from someone who is really close to it and inside the organization, how would you characterize what's happening with Derek Jeter and the Marlins?
Well, they took the liberty to say that, you know, what has happened the last 8 years or so with the team not finishing above 500, they need to go a whole different route. And it's understandable, but... I don't think not at the extent of a fire sale. You are not that far away from probably, you know, making the team a potential postseason candidate. They had the nucleus intact of a great offensive product that they put out on the field every day. Pitching was not at a premium. That's no big secret. They really had some struggles with their starters and their bullpen. But, you know, they just said, you know, we're going to do this a little bit differently. And, you know, we're going to, I think what, in essence, some of the teams.